I'd like now to welcome Don Farmer. He is a professor at the University of Oxford, longtime professor at the Santa Fe Institute, and tonight at 7 o'clock he will be at the CCA introducing the screening of the movie Zardoz, which is part of the Science on Screen series. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, this is a film where you kind of got to get past the fact that for the entirety of the film, Sean Connery is running around in a little red Speedo bathing suit type of outfit with bullets, holsters of bullets strapped across his chest. It has a kind of 70s aesthetic and campy feel, but it goes a lot deeper than that. How did you choose this movie?
Well, to be honest, I debated a lot because I feel very vulnerable in presenting this movie. This is a movie that a lot of people are just going to think is weird and campy and won't go beyond that. And they'll think I'm nuts. On the other hand, I think there will be some people who will appreciate what I see in it and like it. And so it's not a, it's not, let's say, I'm taking a risk in putting it out there, and I feel like I'm kind of exposing myself. Now, I chose this movie because I wanted to do something that I think really relates to complex systems, not just my favorite movie. This isn't my favorite movie, although I like this movie. And the movie has a lot of themes that I regard as central complex systems kind of themes. At the highest level, the movie is about cultural and biological evolution and the way those things can interact with each other. So it's telling a scenario for how biological evolution responds to getting stuck in a cultural cul-de-sac and how it breaks out of that. So at the big picture, this is really a, you know, high concept film. And I think it's particularly relevant right now because, you know, if you've been following what's been going on in the U.S. Congress, we've just allocated even more money to build an even bigger fence across our southern border to try and keep those people out. That's what this movie is about. It's about the future in which some set of elite or more privileged people have chosen to wall themselves off from the rest of the world to keep the savages away. So it simultaneously has echoes of the New Buffalo Commune in Taos in, you know, 1968, and exactly what's happening right now with the whole immigration debate. So I think it may help people think a little bit about what that means.
There's another dimension of it too, which is questions of mortality and immortality. You've got this whole class of people who has become immortal, but it turns out that's not really that much fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's a theme that's been explored often in science fiction films. I dredge back to my adolescence when I read a lot of science fiction, but I think people like Philip K. Dick have written about a society in which you're immortal, and so actually people are desperate to find a way to commit suicide, but it's become almost impossible to do that. So I think it is very much about the essence of birth and death and the way birth and death is essential to change, and change is actually essential for keeping life interesting, and we can't stop things. I mean, the elites in this film have effectively tried to suspend time in a very pleasant place. Just suspend it and keep the nice stuff going and keep everything static.
And one of their punishments, if somebody does something wrong, is they're going to be aged 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very much about immortality. It's about religion. Religion is being very manipulatively used to keep the masses in check, and folds together all kinds of other themes. One of the other things I like about the film is the way its sexuality, rather explicit sexuality, I think at the time, almost shocking sexuality for the day, interweaves among the concept of the culture reproducing and of biological evolution. And so he very deliberately juxtaposes sexuality and biological evolution and cultural evolution.
There's also, of course, the theme of gun violence. At the beginning, you have this god telling the people that guns are good and that reproduction is bad and that they've got to go out and kill the human race. And there's this question that has been going on certainly all of my lifetime about whether the human race is a really good or bad thing for the planet. And maybe there's just too many of us. Maybe there's way too many of us in what to do. And that arises right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so he's very much setting the stage that the scene is driven by overpopulation. The chaos that reigns in the world has a lot to do with the world being so overpopulated, people can't exist in any reasonable way. And essentially, gated communities emerging to keep those people out. And so there's another Santa Fe theme in there, as, you know, there may be some old members of the New Buffalo Commune, but I think gated communities always give me a pause. And I often think about that film.
Well, and this question of when you have a gated community or when you have an elite community of any kind that really doesn't want to interact with anybody else, for the people inside, maybe it's nice, but for the people inside, it's also, if you have any conscience at all, kind of creepy because you're just denying the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, I worry that many of your listeners live in gated communities, and I don't want to bash them. And I understand the motives for that, but it's a disturbing social trend.
So this is a film that feels, it's called Zardoz, and it feels very dated when you're watching it and has kind of 70s aesthetics. And of course, watching a film that in some ways stands the test of time, but aesthetically maybe not so much, is also kind of a reminder of the theme of mortality, because here you are watching something that seems so fresh at one moment and doesn't now.
Yeah. Well, a little should be said about the context for the making of the film. John Borman was just coming off a tremendous success with the film Deliverance, which was widely acclaimed, nominated for an Oscar, and he was kind of the wunderkind that could do no wrong. He originally wanted to make Lord of the Rings and couldn't get it funded. So he made this film. But despite Deliverance, it's a low-budget film. It's made on $1 million budget.
This film, Zardoz,
was made with $1 million, and $200,000 of that went to pay Sean Connery. So the effective budget for the rest of the film was only $800,000. So I think it's pretty remarkable that he got the special effects that he did with that kind of budget. And I also think that if you saw the film on a TV or something, you're not getting the whole experience, because in fact I hope they have a high quality print, because film is visually pretty stunning, and I think the photography was done quite well. In fact, when you read through the reviews of the film, that's often commented on, and it's quite striking to me when you read reviews that on one hand a large fraction of people at the time just panned it, but some fraction said fairly positive things about it. I'll read you, for example, a contrast between Pauline Kael and Roger Ebert. Pauline Kael says, lushly photographed piece of twaddle, a glittering cultural trash pile, and probably the most gloriously fatuous movie since the Oscar, although the passages between the laughs droop. In contrast, Ebert says, a genuinely quirky movie, a trip into the future that seems ruled by perpetually stoned set directors. Every once in a while, a movie like this comes along, a movie you've got to see so that you too can be in the dark about it. And then I noticed a reviewer who was unknown otherwise, Jack Lantinen, said, Zardoz is all kinds of awesome, though I don't think I've seen it the proper way yet, which is maybe an advice to those of you that like to indulge in mind-altering substances. But I was really struck reading through. Well, and actually, let me read you what John Borman said about it in 2001. He said, when I see the film now, I'm astonished at my hubris in making this extraordinary farrago. And I think there's a lot of hubris in making the film. It's a very bold film. It is an extraordinary film. And it, depending on your point of view, you may also regard it as a farrago. But so the reactions to the film are very polarized and bimodal. And I think that, I guess my advice is, if you want a film that will challenge you, come see this film. I think if you come away thinking there's not much there, I'll be a little arrogant and say, I don't think you really got the film. I don't think you thought about what was in there. I think it's possible to both enjoy it as a camp film And although I'll say the first time I saw it in the Fox Venice Theater in Venice, California in 1979, when the guy next to me in the theater started snickering, I nearly decked him. I think it's quite possible to both appreciate the campness of the film and appreciate the high concept nature of the film at the same time.
Do you think it's worth seeing multiple times?
Well, I've seen it twice. I last saw it, believe it or not, in an SFI screening. We had a period, I would guess now 12, 13 years ago, where we had an SFI movie night, which was just SFI people, and we took turns showing films in different people's houses. And I invited a group of SFI people there. And I remember the reactions really ranged from Michelle Gervin, who at the time said, "Why in the world did you choose that movie?" to my friend John Gibson, who said, "I thought it was one of the best films he's ever seen." So it's gonna get a wide range of reactions.
And it's interesting when a movie gets that wide a range of reactions from really intelligent people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, both of those people are very intelligent people.
So the movie is called Zardoz. It screens tonight at 7 o'clock at the CCA. You'll be introducing the film and then doing Q&A afterwards.
That's right. That's right.
And so people can come and check it out and have a discussion, and maybe you can go into the whole question of biology and complex systems.
Yeah, I think this is a good film for this because since there's going to be a lot of dangling questions at the end of the film, I think the question and answer session should help illuminate what's going on for those that are interested enough to hang around. I was a little reminded when I saw this of seeing 2001, where I saw that when I was 16. And I remember that my friends and I spent the next 3 days doing nothing but discuss what was the movie actually about. And I think you'll come away with some of that here, even if it doesn't, it's not quite the masterpiece that 2001 was. It's a cult classic, which is not the same as a masterpiece.
It also, I mean, the themes of immortality for me go back to the Iliad and the Odyssey, where you have all these people fighting in the most horrible, brutal wars and being grateful for whatever life they have, and then all these immortals floating around in the sky being completely petty and annoying, and life isn't worth anything because it goes on forever.
Yeah, there's very much that theme in here, including very literal things like the immortals are controlling the world from the sky. And by the way, I think there's another analog to drones and the whole debate on drones that makes this film very timely.
And there's also zombie-like people in it. So if you like zombie movies,
Yeah,
there's another plus.
yeah, yeah.
Don Farmer is a professor at the University of Oxford, a longtime professor at the Santa Fe Institute. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It was a pleasure.